We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We've come to this portion of the draft process. We're hours away from the first round kicking off, so we are dissecting every part of these draft prospects, Perloff, including the character of Caleb Williams, who is going number one overall to the Bears tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame because I know there's some negative stuff out there. It's a shame that he doesn't fall for that because he's still going number one.
Yeah.
Because, man, somebody's getting he is going to prove them all wrong.
Oh, of course. I mean, So here's some of the latest here. And, of course, we are wall-to-wall drafted today. We've got so much for you and a lot of fun. But, you know, this was the... We'll get the cut for you in just a moment. And it's about an anonymous scout, of course, because this is what these anonymous scouts do. They're hide behind, you know, these quotes and they hide behind the anonymity. We never get to know who they are, but they see something and they question it from a guy. And of course, this is Caleb Williams and him crying after a loss by USC this year. And that is coming back around because Caleb Williams is the number one, is going to be the number one overall pick. So the crying, painting his nails a certain color, you know, all of this has now led to like a behind the scenes sort of questioning of his character. And I realize we are never going to get past this in the NFL. This is going back to Myles Garrett. Remember, didn't care about football because he liked dinosaurs. And we've always said there's always one guy whose character gets put under the microscope in this way and it gets tinged negative. And for Caleb, this is all coming up right as the draft is about to kick off.
Well, I know, but the key lesson here, Myles Garrett went number one. Nobody really cared. And I don't think anyone cares about Caleb. I think 32 teams would take Caleb Williams. I don't even believe this. We should play the coat because I do not think that there's a scout in the world who would not draft Caleb Williams number one.
Okay, so here is the quote from the anonymous GM who said this about Caleb Williams when he was crying and then went further.
And I reached out to a guy who's really well-connected, a former scout, really well-connected across the NFL with GMs and front offices, and I was blown away by his reaction.
What did the scout tell you that you can report?
I hated it. Hated it. He would scare the shit out of me if I was working for a team. Raw emotion is great, but Caleb's thing, that was ridiculous to me. That threw up major red flags.
Okay, he goes on to say, so that's the crying and that's the red flags. And listen, Caleb got a lot of criticism after the crying because I think people were saying, listen, this isn't the first loss you've suffered. Things are going to be tough. You are going to incur losses. Why was the outburst of emotion that big at that particular time? And what's going to happen the next time you suffer a really tough loss? Are we going to be saying the same thing? It went on from there, though.
You just lost a game in the middle of your fucking season, and it was like your third loss in the Pac-12, and you went hugging on mommy and crying in mommy's arms, and it just seems really freaking weak and nuts.
Okay, so there we go. More about the crying, and then more, and this was where the weird comparison came in.
And I will tell you, he scares the out of a lot of NFL teams, too. The book on him is he's just kind of a weird kid. One GM told me it's like if Prince played quarterback.
If Prince played quarterback, and that was not meant as a compliment. That wasn't meant, oh, he's like a virtuoso who, you know, is proficient playing 20 different instruments and he's going to be an artist, not a surgeon. No, no, no. This was meant as a negative. Like he's somebody who is going to be maybe, I don't know, flamboyant. Yeah. I don't know what the association you're making is that he's a diva or something like that where it's going to be a problem.
Well, the whole thing is, what they're saying is he's not masculine. He would wear a purple frock on stage.
Right. Blouses, like, right.
Yeah, he would wear a blouse because he cries. He would go on mommy. I see that's all good and well. Like, if you generally, my rule is if you hear stuff like this, that means some team is putting it out there so they'll fall.
Mm.
But there's no reason. Caleb's been the number one. I'm telling you, 32 teams would take Caleb Williams number one. So this, to me, is, it's one, unfair to put this out there. It's stupid. And B, like, it's not, honestly, it's not going to affect Caleb Williams. Like, he's going to come out. There's never been a number one pick in a better situation. I don't think there's ever been a number one quarterback who's gone to a 7-10 team. Like, this is a celebration in Chicago.
Yep.
There's, to me, I have no room for any negative on this guy. Do you buy into any of this?
Okay, so I think that going after him about the crying and going after him about, you know, painting his nails, that to me does nothing. That just is a generational gap, right, to me. That is maybe people from an older generation who were told, do not show emotion, do not express yourself in that way. And the idea of even painting your nails is probably even more foreign. And I kind of chalk that up to kids today or what. That to me is nothing. Like, that wouldn't bother me even in the slightest. Now, the one thing you just said there, though, that I think is where people are going too far, is you're saying this is a celebration in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And a coronation.
Big time.
There's no way that we all know for sure whether Caleb Williams is going to be good.
Right.
We have no idea if this thing is going to work out. So while I don't like the character assassinations here or any kind of the negative stuff there, let's not pretend like this doesn't have a chance to be a massive bust, just like every other number one overall pick. He's not God. Like, he's not a football God. He is flaws just like everyone. And the Chicago Bears haven't exactly been killing it in terms of developing quarterbacks through their history. The idea that nothing could go wrong here, that's where I take issue. Plenty of things could go wrong with Caleb Williams and the Bears.
See, that's where I disagree.
Okay.
Did you say that about Andrew Luck? Probably, I'm not you, but people, nobody said that about Andrew Luck. Everyone knew he was going to hit. Everyone knew Trevor Lawrence was going to hit. And I know Lawrence has been up and down, but he's definitely been a hit. He's really good. I think Caleb's in that conversation. Like, there's that, he's not Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield or Bryce Young.
Yeah.
He's nothing like those guys. He's like Andrew Luck and Trevor Lawrence and like can't miss.
Listen, put that can't miss on him. I've seen plenty. I've also seen can't misses that definitely missed. And so here's the thing about Caleb. Like, he is he's great and he's got a lot of great qualities. There's a reason why he's a generational talent. He also has some bad habits that he's got to get rid of, which is being loose with the football, the 16 fumbles this year of his 33 fumbles over 2 years at USC. I mean, he is at least partially responsible for taking 84 sacks over the last 3 years, you know, including 35 sacks in 2023. So it's not just because he was out there playing with USC and everyone else on the team was a bunch of zeros and losers and Caleb was the only one who was doing anything.
Yeah.
That's also not true. So Caleb is not a perfect prospect, just like nobody is. And then you add on to it the Chicago Bears side of things, which is you have a maybe lame duck coach in Matt Eberflus. Yeah. With a general manager who has done some really good things, also not, so kind of a mixed bag track record, doesn't have a lot, you know, this is his first GM job in the league, so it's not like we have this massive, you know, history with Ryan Poles. And this could, and you still have Bears ownership, which is always a wild card too, because they do things kind of haphazard when it comes to coaches and GMs. They never clean house all at once. They're always staggering, and they'll keep the coach, they'll fire the GM. They'll keep the GM, they'll fire the coach. They never do things like in a synchronized way. And for that reason alone, we're talking about Caleb Williams, and is this a surefire, no doubt hit? There's no such thing.
Well, one thing about the fumbles and the sacks is he was always down 3 touchdowns because USC was literally a bunch of zeros on defense. It couldn't stop anybody. That was immediate. Like, he had to make a play on every single time out there. And he ran around like Patrick Mahomes. He would spin his opposite side and throw the ball 60 yards downfield. I understand everything you said about the Bears' organizational dysfunction. Matt Eberflus, defensive head coach, you never want that for a quarterback. But on the other hand, they were pretty average. I mean, they were pretty close to 500 last year. So you're jumping into a situation with a team who can win automatically. You have Shane Waldron coming over from Seattle, who did wonders for Geno Smith and is from the Sean McVay camp. And you, all of a sudden, you have a really good depth chart there. You're throwing to Keenan Allen and DJ Moore.
Sure.
What number one pick has ever had two Pro Bowl, almost all pro level wide receivers, and you might get a third wide receiver in this year's draft, or you're going to get another massive tackle in front of you? There are a lot of good things to be here. And I you say nobody's a can't miss, but I think there are can't miss quarterbacks. I think there's probably been five in my lifetime. Peyton Manning was a can't miss.
And his rookie season was blah.
Yeah, but I mean, the back then, as wins, you know? Back then he threw 26 touchdowns and 28 picks, but back then that was what happened. He was still pretty, even his rookie season, he was still pretty awesome. And then you go through the list, like Trevor Lawrence, Andrew Luck. I'm not sure who else off the top of my head, but this is as close to can't miss as you can. And I'm telling you, say all that stuff about Prince, and there's not one team out in the NFL who wouldn't take him number one. I do not believe that for one second. What GM would be like, I'm not taking this guy?
Okay, but we're talking about Caleb Williams, and is he surefire can't miss? This is going to automatically work out the Bears. Perloff says yes. I'm skeptical just because he's got just as good or bad a chance to me as almost anybody.
What? Really?
Yes, because, well, see, it's funny because you and I'm surprised you would take this tact, because you and I have talked before about what if Patrick Mahomes had been drafted by the Bears, and that was a great draft. What if? And I said, I still think he would be great. And you said, you don't, because the Bears have been so bad. So if you
but
think
he would
have
been good.
Okay. But so that's why, like, again, like, yes. Okay.
Well, here's the thing. I think that Caleb is a very, what's the term? He's got a very, his basement is pretty high. Like, even if he's bad, he's still going to be good. I think he's a very low risk. Like, what are the odds that he does a Bryce Young next year and just is terrible? I just don't see that at all possible. I think even a medium Caleb Williams is going to be pretty adequate there in Chicago. I don't see any way possible to be a total bust.
Well, I don't know about total
bust. That's what I'm sort of talking about.
I don't know if I want to
get to Russell kind of thing.
Yeah, or like our pal Ryan. I mean, Ryan Leaf. I don't think it's going to be something like that necessarily, but I can't blanket say I know that this is going to work out.
But if you're saying that, then you're basically saying you never know about any. There's never going to be a prospect that you're so sure about a number one, which might be true.
I've watched the draft now for my entire life, and I feel like I've been sold. This guy's going to be awesome. This guy's going to be awesome. And basically the clip, especially for quarterbacks in the first round, is less than 50%. And listen, it takes two to tango. It takes the player, and then it also takes the team. Now, the other part of this,
I agree.
The other part of this, too, about Caleb, and again, we're talking about, we started off with an anonymous scout who said the crying would scare the crap out of him. The Caleb crying after they lost to, what was it, Washington, when USC lost to Washington, that that would have scared him, because showing that kind of emotion, not that you don't want your guy to be emotional, but showing, like, running to your mom and crying on the sidelines in that kind of way, which seemed almost inconsolable, you know, was something that would scare someone away. Then he also compared him to Prince. Now, Dane Brugler, who does the Athletics, like, huge scouting report, said one scout said he wants to be the Jay-Z of the NFL and a true entrepreneur, and that's great as long as he's winning on the field. So these are the things that are making into these scouting things. I think that there is it was not an accident that when Caleb took his official visit to the Bears, instead of going to dinner with the team and the front office and the GMs and stuff, instead they had him go to dinner with just players on the team. It was Cole Kmet, it was DJ Moore, I don't know who else. And that was like, let's let the players sort of do the evaluation of Caleb in terms of at a dinner setting, right, as opposed to the front office doing that. So I think there's a concern.
Yeah,
potentially.
I read that more as like, we know he's going to be on the team. There's no debate. So why put him with the other draft prospects? But yeah, I think the other option was the front office goes to dinner with a bunch of prospects. Why would you do that when he's already on the team? He's on the team. There was never any debate about who they were taking.
Okay, but you don't think that the front office and the owner ever took a quarterback prospect to dinner, just him? I know the Giants did that. So
the other option, as I understand it, was the front office. They had kind of like the Jaden Daniels situation in Washington. They had a bunch of draft prospects who were there at the same time and went that same night with the GM and the coach. So I don't think there's been any debate. Like, there's never been a question, is Chicago taking Caleb Williams? Like, the second they traded Justin Fields, it was done.
Oh,
so there's no, like, evaluation. I wish this report came out and I was a GM and he would fall because of this, because I would jump all over it. I'd jump over the weed guy, anybody who's busted for drugs, ooh, I want him. The character
anyone
guy,
busted for drugs.
The low IQ test, the S2 test, jump on that guy. Anything to get a guy to fall. But this is just so thin to me. Like, there's no way Caleb was falling. Although, by the way, he will be, it's already reported from the Chicago Sun-Times, he's wearing silver nail polish on his pinky to match with his and his girlfriend's outfit.
Listen, it's like a fashion thing.
Who cares?
That part I don't care about. But I do think that there's, like, I don't think it's, you know, unreal or I'm being weird to question whether or not this thing is going to fit like a glove. I mean,
I know what you're saying. You're absolutely right in that. But I personally think this thing is going to fit like a glove. Like, maybe not with Eberflus, but he is going to win. He's being in the playoffs in this 5-year rookie salary cap deal. I'm so confident in that.
Okay, well, maybe the playoffs, but here's the thing, right? So if Eberflus, you say, like, well, maybe the Chicago Bears coach, maybe that doesn't work out. What happens there in real time? If they fire the head coach after a rookie season, this is what teams do to mess up quarterbacks, is you have got a guy who learned one offensive system, and then you fire everybody, because if Eberflus gets fired, everyone in the building's getting fired, right? All the coaching staff gets fired. So then you have a new coach who comes in with a new system. Now you're asking your second-year quarterback to learn an entirely new language. And I get it if you're Jacksonville and you had to get Urban Meyer out of the building because it was so toxic and you need to do something better. But this is, again, that's the sign of bad teams. That's how teams screw up young quarterbacks, is they keep putting different things on their plate every time and they never get comfortable.
Yeah, so, I mean, listen, Justin Herbert is going to have a new coach this year. No one's worried about him.
Well, he is now 4 years in.
Right, but regardless, like, yeah, he's still in his rookie deal. I'm just saying I don't have all the names. A lot of guys probably switch coaches early. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence went off for Urban Meyer. I still think he can survive a coaching change, and it might even be good for him, too. Just do 1 year with this Eberflus experiment. I think it's going to work. The only problem is the NFC North is so stacked.
Yeah, it's good.
So you're going to have to score a ton of points. But that with that formula, I think he's going to have big stats because he's going to have to score a ton of points. They're going to be behind against Jordan Love and Jared Goff and whoever Minnesota gets. So I think it's going to be a great year. Chicago fan, every Bears fan I know, it's like today is Christmas wrapped up with everything else.
They haven't. I mean, if you're a Chicago Bears fan, you haven't seen a good quarterback since
Jay Cutler
ever.
Cutler. Yeah. If you're old enough to remember Jim McMahon, but that really wasn't that kind of offense.
And he wasn't even that good, right?
So
Sid Luckman, if you're 100.
If you really are one
is
of our
Sid
older
Luckman or
listeners?
Sid Gilman? I can't remember which one of those dudes. I think it was Sid Gilman.
No, yeah. You had it right the first time. Oh. But I think that this is where we're going to disagree. You think there's like a zero chance that this doesn't work, and I think that's crazy. Let's go to the phones, 855-212-4227. Shad's in Iowa. He's got a thought on Caleb Williams. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
We're good. Haven't heard from you in a while. How you been?
I've been trying to call, but no one be answering.
Oh, that's on us. Okay, Shad, what's on your mind? But hey,
well, Caleb, look, Caleb's going to be a bust. I got four reasons. Okay?
Give us your best two.
My best two?
Yeah.
First of all, the division that he's going to.
Okay.
They're going to be fourth in that division.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing, I won't even talk about the USC quarterbacking thing, but the second thing is going to be you have a lame duck coach, which means after this first year, they don't go off the charts with him. They're going to retread coaches, and he's going to go through that coaching cycle thing where they're going to be bringing in new coaches and new coaches.
Yeah, I like to call the Alex Smith. The Alex Smith, who had five different offensive coordinators, I believe, in his first 5 years in the league or something crazy. Mm. It's not good.
No, it's not. And I don't think it's going to be good for his development at all, especially in that division right now. He's going to be behind the eight ball, and I don't think he's going to be able to catch up. Not on that team, not with Chicago's track record.
Thank you so much for the phone call, Shad. See, the division part of it, that doesn't scare me as much.
Well, I mean, the Vikings might be down a little bit.
I'm not worried about the Vikings.
Why would
right
the Lions
now
and Packers not scare you?
They do, but I've got three wild card spots. Yeah. Like, if I really am good, it's the NFC. Let's not pretend the NFC is the AFC. I'm still competing, and I think in year one, I think you just want to see, what does this look like? Does this look good and competent? If you don't make the playoffs year one, no one's going to look at Caleb Williams and be like, wow, what a bust of a pick that was. No, it's going to really depend how it looks.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. He's going to Chicago. It's not a get to the Super Bowl or bust expectation. No. He's just got to have positive stats, I think. Okay, can I sell you on one idea that I think can get you over here? What if they trade up from 9 to 4 with Arizona, give up a future first, get Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Wow.
You're telling me Caleb Williams throwing to Marvin Harrison Jr., DJ Moore, and Keenan Allen, and you're still saying potential bust? I mean, what more of a sure thing can I do for you, Maggie?
Is Marvin Caleb Harrison Jr. going to be great?
Yes, he's going to. Of course he's going to be great. And the other thing, too, is Caleb can run. Don't forget that. That's always, he's got that superpower. He, as long as he stays healthy, he is going to be good at some point this season. I will guarantee it. I'm doing a full Joe Namath, Patrick Ewing guarantee that Caleb Williams is going to be good.
Can we get Perloff with looking into the camera, making guarantees about all this stuff so we can just save it for the archives?
I learned my lesson with Victor Wembanyama. When you see a sure thing in front of you, just take it. Caleb is going to be awesome. I mean, will the Bears be great? Maybe not, but he is going to be a Pro Bowler sometime within his first 5 years of his contract.
Well, I'm glad you learned your lesson from Wembanyama, because Perloff called him Wembustyama and now has to drive to San Antonio at a future date to apologize to Wemby.
Maybe on his way to San Antonio, he's going to Chicago, he can profess his love for Caleb Williams.
There we go.
By the way,
now we're being efficiency. That's executive producer.
I don't know, the Rookie of the Year voting is not done. Are we sure Wemby's winning this thing?
Wait, is this a laugh? Chet and the Thunder looked good last night.
Chet looks awesome.
The eternal optimist, Andrew Perloff.
I was watching Chet dominate last night.
He was very good.
Too little, too late. Darn it.
Okay. Perloff's like, stay in line. Stay in line. If you're on the poll, stay in line.
We've got a lot more for you today. Draft wall to wall, of course, but we want to hear from you about Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears. Is this going to work? You can't tell me anything's a sure thing. Not in the NFL. Been watching this league for too long. 855-212-4227. Don't move.
This portion of the show is sponsored by the new Hyundai Tucson, available with complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus. Now it's easy to use your phone to control your Tucson. Little Prince, we're talking about Prince because an anonymous executive compared Caleb Williams to Prince, not in an awesome kind of way, but as an overly flamboyant kind of way, because Caleb Williams wears nail polish and cried after a game. By the way, did you anybody watch Caleb Williams yesterday? He flew in on the same plane with Rome Odunze. And he was funny, man. He gets in front of a camera, and Caleb's like, he's sort of blowing up the other prospects, saying you should take this guy, you should take that guy. Seems like, he reminds me a lot of Mahomes. Like, super chill, super likable. Yeah. I think Caleb's going to be a beloved in Chicago before long. I think he's going to be a giant hit. You were probably more realistic in the sense that anybody can be a bust.
Well, I just can't anoint Caleb Williams. I think he's great, and I see the tools. I'm not blind, but to say that this is going to be 100%, it's going to work out for the Bears, that's just crazy. First of all, the Bears have to play their role in this thing and make sure they don't screw this up, and they don't really have my trust, to be honest.
Right.
And so it's got to be Caleb, and it's got to be on the Bears too. And you add in those X factors, and I've seen it go sideways for guys before. So, and by the way, major expectations of having that generational talent, you know, term on you. There's number one overall picks, and then there's number one overall picks. And he is already someone who's been, you know, deemed to be in this very separate class. And I would ask, you know, we're all waiting and seeing on Trevor Lawrence, but His stock is not exactly up right now.
Trevor Lawrence is good, though. I mean, if he's Trevor Lawrence, I think you'd take that. But that being said, my counter all that is awesomeness. Just watch the first time he's the guy, defensive end, beats a tackle, and Caleb spins out to his right and finds DJ Moore 50 yards downfield. Then we'll talk.
All right,
it's happening. It's coming to the NFL very soon.
The hanging on to the football, the fumbles, the sacks reminds me of Justin Fields, who had a problem with that in Chicago.
So, I do not see that as a player comp. Justin Fields and Caleb Williams are very different quarterbacks.
Okay, different quarterbacks, but if I gave you fumbles and I gave you sacks and I gave you hanging the ball too long. Now, the one thing that Caleb does that maybe Fields, I don't know, did was sometimes gives up the singles and the doubles to try to go for the home run play. That's another thing.
But that was USC. I mean, you kind of had to. If you were playing singles at USC, you would have lost every game 63-15.
Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4227. Kevin is in San Antonio. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how y'all doing? I miss y'all. I was so busy, I couldn't call you, but I was listening. But, you know, great show.
Listen, we can feel you listening from San Antonio. You don't have to tell us anything. We get the positive energy. We can feel it all the way over here.
Okay. With Caleb Williams, the draft choice, everybody all celebrating and so forth. Let's see what he could do on the field. You know, Justin Fields, oh my goodness, he was a good quarterback, but they need to build around him. People forget about building around the quarterback. We could celebrate and so forth, but we need to build around the player.
Kevin, you're absolutely right. And I think that the Bears are trying to do that. He's not coming.
Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. They've done it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's not walking into a team where the cupboard's bare. He's not going to the New England Patriots right now where you're wondering, who are you throwing the ball to?
I'll take you one step further. There's never been a number one overall pick who's had this kind of cupboard set or whatever you call it. The cupboard couldn't, it's the opposite of bare. And they're getting another, if they stay at nine, I mean, they could trade out easily. I mean, they are just going to, they're probably going to take an offensive player. They're stacked.
It's funny because I just feel like I remember the day Keenan Allen was traded. And I feel like Perloff said something like, he's 31.
Yeah.
He should be taken to the woodshed and put out of his misery or something like that.
Yeah, no, that's Keenan Allen's not going to pay off. But wait till they get Rome Odunze tonight, or if they get Malik Nabers tonight. I mean, it is going to be. I do like DJ Moore. It is a good spot. Shane Waldron also, I kind of like that guy. He's in his early 40s, offensive coordinator. He'll be a head coach for sure. This is all shaping up. I think I want to go to that new stadium that they pumped up the other day at Chicago. Did you guys see that?
I did.
It's gorgeous.
Some controversy around that, but yeah.
Yeah, also, I know there's a lot. But first of all, it's never happening.
It's not going to be done until the year 2050, so.
Yeah, I know.
When Caleb comes back to have his jersey retired at some point, it'll be just ready.
It's beyond unrealistic, just like my expectations for Caleb Williams. After we do the Wemby, and by the way, I know this is going to make you mad, Bogus, but maybe we'll drive through Chicago on our way down to San Antonio. Maybe Caleb Williams and Victor Wembanyama will be title ready at the same time. Because everyone knows to get to San Antonio, you have to go through Chicago.
when you're leaving from New York, I don't know if there's any other way. And did you hear the wee that he just slipped in there, Bogus?
No, I'm not listening anymore. I'm not getting my hopes up. Nothing. I'm not reading between lines. Just it was.
You're
whatever.
Afraid he's gonna rip it away from you at the last minute.
Not getting hurt again.
Just Perloff pulls up with the car. You're there with your suitcase. You go to reach for the handle of the door. It's locked, and he just drives away.
Yeah, no, it's on the table. My bag is packed just in case. But up until that moment, I'm going to be as strong and as closed as possible, so he can't get to me.
Amazing. Let's get to your update, and then we'll get back to the phones. We see you guys. Go ahead.
Here come your headlines, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we can save you hundreds on your car insurance. The Boston Celtics might be playing their first important basketball games of 2024, and it showed in Game 2 with the Heat.
Cross the timeline in time for Caleb Martin. Gets it to Tyler. Right side of the arc. And the screen. Gets it to Caleb. He'll fire a three. He makes the three from the left side of the arc. His fifth make in six tries from the land of milk and honey. He has 21.
Jason Jackson on Heat Radio. That Caleb Martin three stopped Boston's last push. Miami a 111-101 win as a 14-point underdog to even the series at one. Martin scored those 21 on those five threes. Tyler Hero had 24 and six. And the Heat hit a postseason franchise record 23 triples. Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla welcomes the bump in the road.
To think that you're not going to have ups and downs throughout a run, you're not being realistic. So you just have to go back and look at what we did well and where we didn't, and then figure out the areas that we can improve upon.
No surprises, no bumps. Last night in OKC, the Thunder cruising to a 2-0 lead on the Pelicans, 124-92. Second largest margin of defeat in New Orleans franchise history. OKC shot 59%, got 33 points from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. If you want to be creeped out, I'm your guy this morning. After the Pacers won Game 2 in Milwaukee two nights ago, Indy guard Tyrese Halliburton said the Bucks crowd wasn't a problem for them. Indy is a far tougher, louder place to play. Now, I swear this clip is from the same person.
We've had regular season crowds better than what we've played in these last two games, so we expect a great crowd. A lot of people are excited about what's to come, in the series, and just the energy in the city right now with everything that's going on, but especially with us. So we're excited to go.
No, thank you.
What just happened there?
I don't know. I don't want to know. I saw a tweet about this yesterday morning. Like, somebody was like, oh, I forgot he does this. I didn't know he does this. Changes his voice, throws his voice. I want no part of it.
This is it sounds doctored, like AI or something. And he just changed his voice in the middle, like cleared his throat. What's the real voice? The first one or the second one?
I feel like most of the time I hear him talk, he sounds more like the second one, which is why this was so eerie. Because I'm like, oh, wait, right. That's how he normally sounds. What was the first 15 seconds of this?
I mean, kudos to you. I have no idea what Tyrese Haliburton sounds like. But
he's talked enough crap about the Knicks for the last 2 years. I've heard enough of him. Yeah. But, right. But like, not, and I don't know.
Earn his jersey.
But no, but like, he should be a voice actor.
That was pretty amazing.
That was awesome. I mean, he should be a voice actor.
Like, he should get like an endoscope and have his like throat clear. I mean, he's like an ENT or something because he's got some phlegm back there he's got to clear.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Indiana might not have as much endorsement deals with Haliburton. He can get a second job doing some voice acting over the summer.
Just put a podcast mic in your house.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's got a podcast anyway.
I'm sure he has one already.
That's high quality. Right. He probably has two.
He has one. He interviews one voice, interviews the other.
That'd be a good bit. Yeah. Man, all right.
Yeah, I don't like
this.
There's
more to this guy than meets the eye.
Why don't you like it, Bogus?
It's just weird. It's just strange. Changed. Like Ben Simmons going in and out of an Australian accent is, to me, entertaining. This one, I don't get this one.
I like it. And again, I'm not someone who loves Haliburton, but I like that you're able to have fun with stuff like that. I think he's clowning us. I think that's what he's doing.
I don't think he did that on purpose. I think he cleared his throat and then all of a sudden he was a different person.
He's like very clever. I think he did this a little bit on purpose.
But why?
Apparently he does this. Because I've heard other fans say, oh, yeah, we've heard him do this. We don't know why he does this. And now it's just the rest of America, apparently, is finding him do
this. We're keeping our eye on this
one.
But
what's clever about it? He's freaking people out.
It's a troll.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, everybody told us. It's like, what the hell is going on? Clearly it's worked.
I would prefer if there was a pattern. Like, serious questions got one voice, and then the fun questions got another.
Yeah, but then there's a tell.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like that. It's kind of random.
The Cincinnati Bengals were busy the day before the draft. They picked up their fifth-year option on Ja'Marr Chase, so he'll make roughly $22 million in 2025. And they reportedly received a trade request from defensive end Trey Hendrickson, who apparently wants more contractual security than the team is offering. The Bengals don't want to trade him, so now Hendrickson's agent is saying Trey is also considering retirement.
Oh.
The White Sox.
I don't like that. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Now, I mean, that's just all posturing.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to not play.
Totally a fake retirement threat.
I will say, though, I mean,
you're trying to get a long-term deal by threatening retirement is a really weird strategy.
It is weird. Also, he's a dog. So, I mean, even if this is a short-term situation, the Bengals better get this title pretty soon. Like, Higgins may be gone soon. Now Hendrickson may be gone soon. Burrow's great, but he can't lift a whole team.
I don't know.
He needs some guys.
This is what happens when you pay your quarterback a gajillion dollars.
Sure.
Joe Burrow said his window is open forever, right?
Or as long as he's playing.
As long as he's playing, he did say that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, what you're saying is right, but I would count out Joe Burrow. Trey Hendrickson they got Joe Burrow quarterback. They're going to be fine.
Who's been healthier, though? Bogus, yes.
The White Sox are now 3-21 after a 6-3 loss in Minnesota. But let's not forget about the Rockies. They're 6-19 after a 5-2 home loss to the Padres. Colorado has trailed in each of those 25 games, only the second team who can claim that since 1900, trailing at least a little bit in each of your first 25 games.
I am offering
games.
My services to the Rockies.
They don't want it either.
To be a free GM for a year. Free GM for a year. Thank you.
It'd be funny.
It'd
be funny if it was this is like a movie, like a Brewster's Millions kind of thing, but a reverse. Like, they hire Pete. No, it's more like the plot from Major League. Can they hire Pete to make the team worse than it currently is? And let's see if he can even, could they be any worse? Can you take an amateur person off the street and could they actually do a worse job than whatever the Rockies and the White Sox are putting out right now?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think even just a regular person couldn't make this worse.
Well, that's just extremely insulting.
I'm just sorry. Did I call you a regular person? I'm sorry.
Let's take this ham and egger off the street and make him the GM. I was offering my services to make them better.
Yes, I'm sorry. I forgot your extensive background in scouting.
Mm. Thank you.
How do we line this up where in the Rockies clubhouse, there's a cutout of Pete, and as they win or lose, they peel off a thing.
And then they put on clothes.
A suit, and then there's Pete in a bikini.
No, they put on clothes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you start naked, and then you get dressed?
Yes.
That's not how those work, Pete.
Well, for them, that's how it's going to work. They better win some games.
I mean, we're talking about motivation here.
I told you they're going there. They win more than they are now.
A fun one in Toronto last night, and except for the Maple Leafs. They tied the Bruins at 2 mid-third period, and then this happened 28 seconds later.
Back of the net. Samsonov's lost his stick. Marchand shoots. He scores! Brad Marchand! Only Cam Neely has scored more playoff goals than that guy. He makes it 3-2 Bruins.
Judd Surratt on Bruins Radio. Marchand then scored into an empty net for a 4-2 win and a 2-1 series lead.
Is that the same Brad Marchand that's been around for... Is it his son or is that Brad Marchand?
This is Matt Holliday's son as well.
How can Brad Marchand still be scoring? Anyway,
because hockey players can play forever.
Yeah.
They also Jager. Start young, too. Don't forget that. A lot of times they're only at 20. So year 10, they're still only 30. He's old, but he's not ancient.
Oh, my God. He's 35.
Yeah. That's still, in this day and age, that's not bad in the NHL.
Old guys. I love it.
Vegas goes 2-for-2 in Dallas, a 3-1 victory last night. And the Kings got their split in Edmonton in overtime, 5-4 on a goal by Anje Kopitar. And I'm waiting on confirmation whose turn it is. But there's another NHL head coaching vacancy to fill with somebody getting their second, third, fourth, or fifth job. The Sharks letting go David Quinn after two seasons. This year included a league-low 19 victories.
Lane Lambert, I think, is in next in the rotation.
The Sharks were our team to start this season.
How long ago does that feel?
It does feel long.
Yeah, that was the beginning of this journey. And we've already lost a coach. Damn.
Well, when you pick up national media because you're losing to start the season, then they were 0-11 to start. That's not a good sign.
I thought the show mojo would help, though.
They didn't win for like the first month of the season.
You know, I blame us because if we really wanted to throw our weight behind something, we could have done it. We kind of half-assed it a little bit. I like to believe if all five of us combined, we could have really sent some positive vibes out there, but we were kind of in and out.
I thought we liked like one of the announcers or something they did in the stadium. It was just because they were losing we picked them up?
No, they kept saying something about pancakes or waffles.
Yes, right.
That was the Kraken.
Ah, see, again, we weren't into it. Yeah, we weren't into it enough.
Yeah, they were just losing.
Us.
And then I said, well, they're the Shark Tank, which is a cool name for us, arena.
That's it? That's all we had?
Yeah, that's all we had.
Yeah.
See, we got to do a little better job.
What's this about pancakes and the Kraken? Maybe we could get on that.
First of all, it was funnel cakes, which are way better than
funnel cakes.
Way better than pancakes.
I'm getting all those stories confused.
And behind the scenes, I was on the lookout for more funnel cake references. They didn't do it enough. One's on them, not on us.
So we fired.
So Bogish was in 100%.
Yeah.
The rest of us sort of dropped the ball. All right, next season. No, we're picking up a team for the playoffs, aren't we?
You guys already have your teams.
Islanders, Rangers.
Yeah, Pete won't have a team for much longer, I don't think.
Well, Perloff, I think, was a Flyers fan. I grew up a Rangers fan, but obviously my situation with ownership is a little dicey.
Bruins for me.
That's Bruins?
Yep.
Because of Brad Marchand?
No.
He just found out the name.
No. But I know the coach through a good friend, so that's a... Yeah, we got to root for the Bruins. And that's a fun story.
Hockey. Never root for a Boston team.
Hockey's Boston?
No way.
Come on, bro.
Your 7-minute relationship with the Bruins is bringing a tear to a glass eye.
Trust me, guys.
Has it been seven minutes?
On the Bruins.
Nope.
N-O.
How about the Maple Leafs? Because they never win.
I'm okay with the Maple Leafs unless they play against the Rangers. But I'm okay with them.
How about the fact that they have an American star, Bilotti, do anything for you? No.
The fact that they get eliminated does a lot for me.
All right. That's old Islanders beef there.
Yeah, Toronto I'm into. You can't. Sorry, Boston. Bogish, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Go Bees, go.
I appreciate that.
By the way, I tried to get these guys. I invited Bilotti and Bogish. I sent an email saying, do you want to go on the ice right behind for a Rangers-Islanders game and got silence back. I just want that for the record.
You are right. That's dropping the ball, dude.
Well, just for the record, it's at the enemy territory for me, at least. So it would be a lot to have to...
Logistically, yes.
I can't go to the Garden. Yeah. You can go to the Garden.
And by the time the invitation was made, there were like 4 home games left to choose from. So they were hard.
Oh, that's not an excuse.
That was a month and a half of the season.
Yeah. I appreciate the offer. We couldn't collectively find a date.
Well, we should recircle back on this next year. I think that's a good way to solve this.
While we're driving to San Antonio, we'll look at the Rangers schedule for next year.
I gotta be real though, Pete. I mean, I know it's a bad rivalry, and I am a Rangers fan, so I get what you're saying. But I mean, it's in your city. You should be fine.
It's 30 blocks away.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
There's no excuse.
There will be other Islanders fans there. Like, whoa. if there's a brawl, you'll have help. I'm sure Bogus will clear out some space. You'll
be fine.
There's
a fight,
Bogus will be leading it. Crazy.
No. UBS Arena, come to our home.
I do think that Perloff should get credit for this. He did make the offer. The tickets would have been awesome. Dr. Positano, thank you.
Oh, how about this? We all go out to UBS Arena, and then we go to your house for a barbecue.
My house.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Yeah, sounds great to me.
I mean, there's some logistical issues. Like, it has to be a day game. Is it winter? What time is it? Like,
we're all sleeping over, and we're going to need lots of space. attention.
You don't live in Long Island,
I live
in
Long Island.
Oh, you do? Yeah, let's do it.
Let's stay over.
Do you usually invite yourself over to people's house?
You guys know that, by the way, right?
Well, I mean, if I'm going out to the UBS Arena, I'm not driving back in the city afterwards.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's got to be show sleepover.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is great. All right,
leave it over with the two infants. They're lovely.
Let's get the schedule back out.
You guys can stay if you stay in the infant room. my kids will stay in the room that you guys are staying in.
Okay.
Deal.
See, I live in Queens, so I can just find the Long Island Railroad and take my asshole.
Well, that's not an option.
No.
If everyone's sleeping over, you're sleeping over too.
Yep.
Solidarity. 855-212-4227. I did get a fun DM. About Pete Bilotti, which we'll bring to you in a little bit. We got more draft to get back to, though, and your phone calls asking about Caleb Williams. Are you sure this is going to work in Chicago? Perloff says yes. I say no. What say you? Maggie and Perloff, you can watch us on youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. NFL Draft Round 1 gets underway tonight. We're asking about Caleb Williams. Is it a sure thing this is going to work out in Chicago? Perloff says yes, it's going to be hit the ground running awesome. I have my concerns. Michael is in Indianapolis. Joins us now on Maggie and Perloff. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Maggie and Perloff. I dig your radio show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it. What's on your mind?
My question is about with Caleb Williams and all the other new players entering the NFL tonight, you know, that are going to get drafted. My question is that we talk about all these different offenses and like in the NFL and like, you know, you got, you know, all the different styles. My question is, these guys have been playing for like 10, 12 years now. Don't you think they should be able to adapt to all the different offenses out there?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
so like how, thank you for the call. It's an interesting point. So how, like, we were talking about, this is a way that teams can ruin young quarterbacks, is when you're constantly changing coaches and offensive coordinators and you got to learn one system, then learn another system. And Michael is saying, well, you've been playing your whole life. Don't you have some kind of familiarity with a lot of different systems?
Well, not only that, now we're getting close to uniformity of systems. Everybody's some form of Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, right? I mean, how many teams, I guess, I mean, how different are these offenses anyway? Is an Andy Reid offense so different than a Sean McVay offense? I mean, how many offense coordinators literally were under McVay?
No, like, I get that, but there's definitely differences in college. I mean, what J.J. McCarthy was running is definitely different than what Jaden Daniels was running. I mean, some guys never go under center their entire college career.
Most guys never go under center.
Or J.J. McCarthy, who's under center all the time.
Right. It's huge adjustment. But basically, a lot of NFL offenses are now very, very similar. I mean, they're all kind of some form of a McVay coast offense.
Yeah, I guess this is what I would say. I think this is universal. I think the teams that adjust their system to their quarterback are the best ones.
Like, kind of like when Cam Newton got to Carolina, they took some. Yeah, but
I don't think
you even need to do that anymore because the systems are way, you know, basically NFL has become a lot like college. Like, people have spread everything out, RPOs. Like, I just don't think that it's not like it used to be. I feel like everyone's very close.
Okay, but you want to know what else is happening? Scoring's down. And the defenses are in some ways catching up to some of these offenses and how because there's so much, these coaching trees are so spread all around the league, it does create a uniformity in some ways. And then it becomes easier to predict for the defenses. So then you're always trying to tweak it and tweak it and tweak it. So to me, I think it still messes a kid up. I do. I think you want consistency just like, you know, in any industry or in any job. It's better if you have, you know, like, consistency. When your boss is good and your boss's boss is good, things tend to run a lot smoother.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but the transition from college offense to pro, now everybody, I mean, Caleb's comes from Lincoln Riley. That's never really worked great. And then Jaden Daniels had a very simple offense at LSU. I think quarterbacks have overcome that lately. Like, that's not as big a thing as it was 20 years ago, in my opinion.
The one thing that a team better not do tonight. This mistake is going to have us incensed. Get to that next. It's Maggie and Perloff.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it.
Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.